Okay, welcome back. Time for Mitchell Henderson. How many tons, how many thousands, maybe tens of thousands of tons of American military munitions, all kinds of things from A to Z, have now been flown from the U.S., largely disarmed, to Germany, Israel, the Mideast, etc. Diego Garcia is bristling with American weaponry, all getting ready to launch yet another war under orders of Jewish Israel. The Zionists are at work, and they're going to force us to attack Iran again. I tell you, just for kicks, I'd love to see the Pakistanis or even Putin show some real class and say, this is going to stop. I'm going to level the playing field. We're sending the Iranians 10 tactical nukes right now. If the Pakistanis did it, who's going to stop them? Putin did it, who's going to stop them? They've got to somehow get the message out that this bullying, this Trump Zionist Jewish bullying, is going to end now. I don't see it happening, but it's got to. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be here. You hear me complaining about Trump telling the rioters in Iran to riot and he'll step in and protect them and stuff, and now 30,000 of them have died and he has not stepped in. I just want to make
sure. We don't know that figure to be accurate, do we?
Well, I think it's probably accurate. Yeah, when I look at the local countries that would know that it's hard to hide from, that's pretty much what they say. So what the issue is, when I discuss this issue, I'm really looking at it from the point of view of how Trump always chickens out. He's a blowhard, okay? He really is not a tough guy, okay? But on the other hand, let me make clear that I am completely against the United States going to war with Iran, because it is for Israel. No matter what, it's for Israel. And I'm against it, 100%. Okay. Just to show you how the people have changed. I've discussed how they've changed before, in that Saudi Arabia made a mutual defense alliance with PAC Nuclear in Pakistan, because they don't really trust America to protect them from Israel anymore. Well, you know, that is growing, because Turkey has asked to become a part of that treaty, too. Now, this treaty means that if somebody invades Turkey, Pakistan is going to war with them.
So who's in the treaty, potentially?
Yeah, it's
who's
in the treaty? Mutual defense treaty that, just like NATO, somebody attacks Turkey, they've attacked Pakistan, they've attacked Saudi Arabia. Okay, so guess who else wants to join that? Indonesia wants to be a part of that treaty, too.
Oh, how interesting. That is very interesting.
That would be halfway around the world, just about, you know.
Yeah.
Indonesia is pretty long. And then another interesting thing is Indonesia wants to buy these fifth-generation fighter jets from Turkey with one stipulation. It can have no American parts in it, because they cannot rely on America.
Oh,
they do not want to have to need anything from the United States.
You never hear much about Turkey, Mitch. About Turkey's military? You don't hear much about Turkey's military. Turkey has an immense military, very modern, with some advanced weapon systems that are nothing to sneeze at, and they're not to be dismissed. Now, they haven't stepped in to protect Gaza.
Very well-trained and disciplined troops.
Yes, that's what I hear.
Yes.
They haven't stepped in to help end the genocide, because they'll get the hell nuked out of them. They know it, and that's what's holding them back.
So, last summer I said that on June 22nd, World War III began. And I stand by that. And remember, at the time I said that, you know, World War II, Great Britain declared war on Germany in 1941 and did not invade until 1943-44. So 2-3 years went by before there was any big battle. But the war started in 39. Okay. Same with the U.S. We declared war in 41. It wasn't until, I think, very late, I think it was the beginning of 43, we started fighting in Africa, like 2 years after we declared war. So you know, this is you know, don't be fooled into thinking that, well, we're still waiting for World War III. No, we're there. We are witnessing World War III right now. So what I want to convince you of tonight is that we are in a revolution in America right now, okay? And I'm going to break it down to you, not from our point of view, but from a Marxist point of view, okay? So the focal point of this revolution is Minneapolis, and the cradle of a revolution will be Minnesota. They will set the trends for the revolution. So let me draw a picture of this from the point of view of those leading the revolution. Let us start with Lenin for the long game. From Lenin's book, Two Tactics of Social Democracy in the Democratic Revolution, written in 1905. Notice that the Democrats call themselves Democratic Socialists. Don't be fooled by the Democrat word. It doesn't mean the assent of any people. Okay.
Got it.
Lenin's tactical phases of revolution are as follows. One, offensive tactics, mass action, local political strikes, demonstrations, massive rioting. This took place in 2020 between the George Floyd riots in Minneapolis and the COVID epidemic. They brought down the first Trump administration.
We should pause, hold on, and point that out clearly. George Floyd, right there in the same cradle of communism. Look at that.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Two, defensive reorganization tactics. Get legal power to regroup. Rig an election to put Biden in power. Then Biden immediately declares white supremacy as the greatest threat to democracy. He did that on day one. Lay the groundwork for future and more violent struggle. Encourage leftists and illegal aliens to arm themselves. Pour money into the revolution in any way possible, like massive fraud funneling federal funds into the Revolutionary Treasury, like the Somali daycare and transportation frauds in Minnesota, with the major, the mayor and the governor's cover. Okay, that money is paying for this revolution. It's your tax money that's paying for the revolution against you. Okay, use the legal system to fight. Do this by both commission, suing the federal government for everything they do, and omission, failing to prosecute crime done by your followers and enforcing the law strictly on your enemies, like Mary Moriarty, withholding exculpatory evidence to put a cop in jail. The Bolsheviks have captured the judicial system in this country, and our Supreme Court is not proactive in protecting either the individual's rights or the federal government's rights. Power.
I can't remember the court doing anything particularly dynamic or constitutional.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
This became well established between 2021 and 2024 under the Biden regime. Three, class war. Create a civil war based on class struggle. Since America is a classless society, classes were redefined by race, gender, and sexuality. The proletariat was redefined as people of color, women and LGBT people, and the illegal aliens. The bourgeois was simply straight white males, the oppressor class. You can just listen to Democrats talk. They say that white males, straight white males, are the oppressor class. They say it. Uh-huh. You don't have to read between the lines. They openly say this.
Oh, no, the agenda's clear. I agree. Yeah.
This began when Biden came to power and declared war on white people, both overtly and covertly through the Green New Deal, which was pointedly in favor of, quote, marginalized and underserved communities, which is a euphemism for everyone except white people. DEI was also an attack on white people to keep them out of government jobs, opening the doors to mass illegal immigration of people of color from peasant and collectivist societies, from the poorest nations of the world, and giving them free housing, health care, and food, as well as cash payments, what Marx would call the International Reserve Army of Labor, to grow their constituency against the straight white male. Meanwhile, American citizens' homeless population exploded without any offers of assistance. The $24 billion that California appropriated for the homeless went to the coffers of the revolution. The legal system, the judiciary, would protect them at all costs while not offering protection to white Americans. This can be seen with the insane levels of protection given to Salvadoran gang member, wife beater, and criminal Kilmar Abrego Garcia. The attempt to legally deport all these people is the wedge issue that is fought by the judiciary and is protested by brain-dead protesters, the useful idiots of this Bolshevik revolution. Do these stupid white people think they will be spared? History says no. The split created in the Civil War pits collectivists against individualists, like Mamdani's comment about defeating rugged individualism for the warm embrace of collectivism. The warm embrace of collectivism killing 200 million people in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Marxist against Zionist, liberal mainstream Christian denominations against conservative Christian denominations, non-white with the definition of what white is to narrow it down against white women, and the beta cucks against men. The sexual deviants and sodomites against straight people, criminals against law-abiding citizens, and illegals against American citizens. It is odd, but in the plutocratic Marxism, the people who actually work are the enemies of the people, and the workers are the enemy of the people. So you need Lenin said you need a vanguard party to create a broad coalition against the government in power. The Democratic National Convention attempts to co-opt all forces against what they openly described as a fascist, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic, Nazi Trump regime. By their activism, they build solidarity with everyone from Joe Rogan to Pope Leo XIV. They get Republican congressmen and senators to side with them as well as all sports, music, TV, movie stars to vociferously and with smug condescension back their causes. The DNC chooses your leaders, not you. They chose Hillary over Bernie Sanders in 2016, Biden over Tulsi Gabbard in 2020. They called Gabbard a white supremacist, and Harris over Robert Kennedy in 2024 without even bothering to have a primary. There is nothing democratic about the Democratic Party. They are the revolutionary vanguard party. Four, seizure of power. What is starting in Minneapolis today is the beginning of a mass movement to overthrow the Trump government. They have no intention of waiting for elections. The mass movement will spread to other metropolitan areas and other blue states. Once Trump is overthrown, a provisional government of useful, brain-dead, mediocre bureaucrats like Tim Walz, Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, and Mayor Frey will take over. Next, they will be liquidated so a revolutionary social democratic government will take over. They will encourage the masses to seize and appropriate the property of straight white males, then eventually all white people. You could see this during the Biden administration in the news all the time, they had a right to take white people's property. Remember that during this process, the revolutionaries control the judicial, and you have no protection of the courts, and you will have zero constitutional rights. With prosecutors like Mary Moriarty of Hennepin County of Minnesota or Sam Bregman of Bernalillo County, New Mexico, criminals will be protected and you will be persecuted. With chiefs of police like the pussy Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara and the absolute sissy Portland Police Chief Bob Day protecting criminals at all costs and likely to arrest you if you defend yourself against a criminal, you are really on your own. Trump will not help you either. Imagine if the Democrats were in power and some white protesters went into a mosque to protest in the same exact way that they did in a Christian church in Minnesota. Every single protester would have been charged and kept in jail at the trial. But Pam Bondi only arrests three, and a judge immediately releases them. They will not be found guilty even if they should go to trial. Expect judges to dismiss charges. One judge refused to even sign an arrest warrant for Don Lemon. What do you expect? Three separate Somali fraudsters in Minnesota were found guilty by a jury, but three different liberal white female judges vacated their convictions and set them free. Do not count on Trump or any Republican politician to help you. Just like Trump exhorted people to protest on January 6th, and let them spend 4 years in prison on chicken shit charges, And just like he exhorted the people of Iran to rise against the government 2 weeks ago, saying very clear that if the regime fires on the people, he will fire on the regime. He has let thousands die, and he will certainly let thousands of his own voters die or lose everything. He can run. We can't. Trump always chickens out. Taco. Trump always chickens out. Guess what? This is what other countries' news says all the time. They call him Taco. Russia calls him Taco. Pakistan calls him Taco.
Really?
China calls
really?
Him
all right.
Taco.
I didn't know this. I've seen it, but I didn't know this was a global. Taco means
global.
What to the world?
Just like,
what's it mean?
Taco means Trump always chickens out.
Gotcha.
See, Trump portrays himself, oh, everybody's just scared of me. They'll do what I say.
No, everybody
knows he's a blowhard, and they're not afraid of him at all. Okay? You just saw Iran, this... Iran did not blink. Trump blinked. Okay? It's just.
Well, we'll see what happens this time. I agree. They've got a lot of firepower over there now.
Well, that's for Israel. That's not for the people of Iran.
Of course.
It's not to help the people. That's for Israel.
Right.
Okay. And we attack when Israel says so, not when we want to. We are not the boss in this.
Absolutely.
We do not decide foreign policy.
Absolutely.
Netanyahu does. Okay.
Yep.
He told us not to shoot yet. Okay. So as far as the revolution goes here in America, no one in this administration understands Leninist revolutionary war. We've been fighting Muslims for so long, we forgot what it's like to fight Leninist revolutionary war. Okay. So that was Lenin's theory, okay? Now I want to cover Brazilian Marxist revolutionary Carlos Marighella. He wrote the mini-manual for the urban guerrilla in 1969.
Okay.
Whereas Che Guevara wrote his guerrilla warfare in 1961, Guevara was talking about starting a revolution by small bands of guerrillas in the rural areas, provoking the government to overreact, making the rural people feel oppressed, which raises their political consciousness and develops into a situation where massive rural support allows you to surround and cut off cities and take them over. Marighella talks of starting the revolution in the cities. And in the 21st century, with modern technology, they can't start it in the countryside. You can't have a guerrilla war in the countryside. They'll wipe you out, okay? You have to take cover behind the masses of the people to be safe in this century. To have any chance at all. So Marighella talks of starting the revolution in the city. In current American situation, the situation is reversed. The city people are Marxist Democrats, and they oppress the rural people. They make the rules and laws that rural people have to live under, and it's to the great disadvantage of rural people. The American Revolution has to start in the cities because that is where the Marxists have their base of support. They impose stupid rules on the rural people that doesn't fit their situation. For example, like gun control. Well, rural people need guns, okay? Maybe city people don't, but rural people do. But they want a blanket gun control for everybody. So Marighella's strategy is that the urban guerrilla aims to destroy certain aspects of the state structure and to destroy the myth of the state omnipotence and invulnerability. We are now at a point where, and pay attention to what happened today, just keep this in mind, aims to destroy certain aspects of the state structure and to destroy the myth of state omnipotence and invulnerability. Keep that in mind as we proceed. We are now at a point where it is the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota are actually destroying the myth of federal government omnipotence and invulnerability. Minneapolis is Fort Sumter, and Minnesota to South Carolina. The objective of the revolution is to bring down the Trump government and impose a social democratic government, which is actually more like a Bolshevik government. Mm-hmm. In Marighella's model, the revolution begins in the cities and moves to the countryside. So Marighella's stages of revolution. One, logistics and expropriation. You have to fund the revolution. He did this by robbing banks. In our case, the banks are funding revolution, okay, BlackRock, okay? chores.
Yeah.
The banks are funding it. You don't have to rob the banks. The banks are funding it. Two, intensification of action. Attack the police to create a climate of instability. In this case, attack the federal police and federal troops. Do this on the streets and do this in the courts. In this case, the federal judiciary is owned by the revolutionaries, and they rule against the federal police and the federal troops, ruling against them doing their legal jobs. It is not an illegal order to tell federal or state troops to protect federal property or federal employees. It is not an illegal order to tell immigration officers to arrest illegal aliens. It is actually illegal to tell immigration officers to not arrest illegal aliens or tell federal troops to not protect federal property and employees. The Democrats have inverted both reality and morality. Then the third stage is mobilization and support. And this includes raise political awareness and encourage mass resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you raise political awareness and encourage mass resistance? Mara Gaylor calls this provocation or sharpening the contradictions. You see, you use civil disobedience to trigger harsh and indiscriminate government response in order to raise the political consciousness of the masses. You can see this with having people go out and have martyrs to the revolution be killed by federal officers in Minneapolis, and then everybody's in an outrage about it. Okay, the Marxist Democratic Party revolutionaries have already captured the mainstream media as their propaganda wing. Modern media allows all people to be aware of and feel affected by what goes on in one city, the focal city of Minneapolis, and the cradle of the revolution, Minnesota, which are already in the hands of the revolution. This is how you raise the political consciousness. So Mara Gaylor breaks this down into three parts. Mm-hmm. One, expose the true nature of the state by goading authorities into using excessive force. Activists aim to make this systemic oppression or contradictions of the government visible to the general public. It helps that the mainstream media and Democrats in Congress agitate on their behalf. Marxist Democratic politicians assist in this at all levels. Two, alienate the population from the government. A heavy-handed or imprecise state response often impacts innocent civilians, which can radicalize them and drive them to support the opposition. Three, raise political consciousness. Witnessing or experiencing state repression is intended to shift the public mindset from passive acceptance to active resistance, or what they call political consciousness. Mao Zedong was very big on heightening the contradictions in revolutionary warfare by intensifying the conflicts inherent in the system, in this case between white supremacist state and its victims, people of color, women and LGBT people, and illegal aliens. The system will eventually reach a boiling point, making revolution inevitable. Add to this the concept of accelerationism in the current Marxist thinking. Accelerationism is the political strategy that seeks to accelerate the processes of a system through disruption to bring about its collapse and subsequent radical change. Listen, the Marxists talk about this daily, all the time. The media doesn't talk about
it. Sure,
this is what
do.
The people leading this movement say. This is what they're This is what they're thinking. This is what they're talking about. The radical change desired by the Democratic Party is the extermination of all straight white males. Why do I say that? I say that because they clearly say that. Straight white males are the scapegoats of the revolution. They are the catalysts used to rally people of color, women, LGBT, sodomites, and illegal aliens to the side of the revolution. They are blamed for all the evils of the world for reasons of expediency. Not that they're actually at fault, but just they have to have some kind of scapegoat to rile up the masses. Trump has threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act. This is what the revolution is counting on. This is the overreaction they want. Then Trump would have to impose martial law when that does not work. But Trump always chickens out. He likes to boast and threaten, but he always lets his followers down. always. He is the opposite of strong. His goal as president is to give free people false hope and encourage them to speak out to identify themselves. The Marxists are keeping track and making notes on who we are. Social media is forever. Trump always does something cowardly, then claims victory. He lives in a fantasy world where he wins when he fails. Sure enough, this afternoon, Trump surrendered to the Marxists and decided to pull 3,000 ICE and Border Patrol agents out of Minnesota. Trump will frame this as a win for himself.
Oh, yeah,
he will
does.
Likely throw the Border Patrol officer that shot Alex Pretty under the bus, which will embolden the anti-ICE protesters and cause federal officers to refrain from doing their job. This is an acceptable outcome for the Democratic Marxists because they will repeat the tactic everywhere. The Marxists will regroup and do the same in other states and cities. This is a tactical victory for them. Remember, their motto is by any means necessary. Our motto, or Trump's motto, is whatever we think makes us look good. And in the end, Republicans are virtue signalers without any actual backbone, just like they accuse the other side of being. Trump can pull ICE out of Minnesota as they demand, giving Minnesota and Tim Walz a veto on federal activity in his state. Tampon Tim has more balls than Donald Trump. Trump blinked, just like he blinked against the Ayatollahs in Iran. Trump is a weak and malleable tool. I think we will see an ending of prosecutions for Somali fraudsters also. But Trump will declare it a victory. Whatever Trump does, he loses. He is completely at the mercy of the Marxist Democrats because he has no balls. Okay, the revolution is on, and they will overthrow Trump because they know he is all show and little action. They smell blood in the water, and it will soon turn into a feeding frenzy. If the revolution is successful, all decent and intelligent human beings will be exterminated. Democrats are hateful and do not respect anybody else's rights. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the courts are a weapon to be used against their enemies. This is like Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge. We will have a genocide in the United States like the world has never seen. Oops, that kind of sounds like what Trump says. A genocide like no one has ever seen, right?
Yeah.
Just like the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 led to the Russian Civil War, 1917-1923, the United States will be in a civil war. The revolution will lead to a civil war just like it did in Russia. This will pit the Marxist Democrat states against the free states. The Marxist Democrats have an edge in that their followers are rational and thoroughly brainwashed, delusional true believers who are already in a death cult against rational, critically thinking, realistic individuals who are in a life cult. The death cult will sacrifice themselves without questions. You could accurately describe Marxist Democrats as zombies. Their minds have been taken over by the invasion of the body snatchers. They belong to Satan and are demons. Never feel sorry for these people. They want you to feel sorry for Rene Good. They want you to feel sorry for Alex Pretty. Those people, if Rene and Becca Good saw a group of people beating you to death on the street, they wouldn't lift a finger to help you. Neither would Alex Pretty. Do not believe these people. They describe Rene Good as a good Christian woman. She's in a lesbian relationship, and 1 Corinthians 6 states clearly that you don't know God. You don't know Christ if you're in a sodomite relationship. Okay? Period. There's no arguing about it. In psychology, Marxist revolutionaries act like narcissists. They push people to their breaking point, then shame them for breaking. It is emotional abuse, not just an accident. It is a tactic for manipulation. They provoke you, hurt you, and push you to react. Then they flip the blame and play the victim. This is manipulation, not a misunderstanding. This is what you just saw happening in Minneapolis, okay? They provoked until their people got hurt, and then they play the victim and shift the blame. Don't fall for it, people. Let me tell you who the Marxist Democrat states are. The Northeastern Alliance would be Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia. Georgia is a Marxist Democrat state.
Got it.
The Midwest Alliance is Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois. The Western Alliance would be Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado. The rural areas in these states will be areas of opposition to Marxism. The urban areas of the free states will be areas of opposition to freedom. The revolution is here. Prepare now. It'll soon be too late. Okay, so let me just mention, just from a strategic point of view, some battleground states. Okay, there's some major urban areas in North Carolina that will be Marxist, and I believe North Carolina and South Carolina will be a battleground in a league to join Virginia up with Georgia so that they can have a contiguous territory. Mm-hmm. And then they will attempt to link up, they will try to invade probably Indiana and Ohio to link up Pennsylvania with Illinois and Michigan. So those will be heavy battleground states because they're going to want to link these people up. Also, there's sparse population across the Dakotas, Montana, and Idaho, and you have a lot of people that are sort of liberal or just not strongly conservative living in those states. And they're sparsely populated, so that those states will probably be areas where they're going to try to link up Washington, Oregon with Minnesota. Okay? So those will probably be the first real heavy fighting states right there. And I'm talking about in fights between states. Fighting inside the state should be pretty intense in all of the states. Like I said, because in the Democrat states, the rural people are free, and in the red states, in the free states, the cities, the urban areas are Marxist. So you have a lot of internal fighting going on.
How are this, real quick, how are the states going to break down? You got 50 states.
Yes.
How many?
So you know, like all New England and all the Northeast, from Virginia
it's communist.
Will be Marxist.
Yep.
And the West Coast is, of course, the left coast. It's obviously...
It's gone. California is the greatest tragedy you can imagine. It's just awful.
A beautiful state with... I don't know what happened to people. excuse me.
It's all right. Take a moment.
I don't know what happened to people in California, but it's kind of, I've had to, I don't know. They're just, these people are brainwashed and they all want to be alike.
It's very strange how it all happened, but it did. It did.
So,
I just don't see any way back for California. Newsom is an ungodly evil idiot. It's awful.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's why it's... So my point is we are in World War III, and we are in the American Revolution now. So you may see a little pause, okay, mm-hmm. before these riots break out again. They were successful in Minnesota. This is going to encourage people in Portland and Seattle and California and all these other states to go crazy and instigate. They're going to, more lefties are going to die. Don't be sorry for these people when they die. They're being sacrificed as martyrs to the revolution. They want you to feel sorry for them. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But don't feel sorry for them.
Well, I agree.
These people will kill you.
You reap what you sow, and those people...
These people hate you.
They are not... it's almost like they're not of the same planet. They hate... The diabolical differences are too big for most people to comprehend.
Oh, yeah.
It's
very big. So, you know, you need to kind of... start getting ready for this, you know, like know who in your neighborhood is going to be a problem and who's not going to be a problem. Know who your friends are, know who your enemies are. You know, get my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization. Hey, listen, these wars that are going on now, this is the end game. This is the end of time. There won't be civilization after here. So you're not preparing for a temporary emergency. You're not preparing for a couple years of war. You're preparing for the collapse of civilization. And you have to think in that manner. What are you not going to be able to get when civilization collapses? Yep. You won't be able to get matches. You won't be able to get gasoline. You won't be able to get spices. I mean, there's so many things that you're used to in your daily life that you will no longer be able to get. So you need to stock up on those things now. Okay? There'll be no produced goods. Like if you need frying pans and boiling pots, those are essential. You got to think about the tools you need to cook and prepare your food too. The knives, the saws, the stuff to prepare meat. You have to have building. You have to have basically burglary tools so you can get into places where there may be stored food and supplies. Okay.
Right. Oh, there's going to be a lot of that. Look, all rules gone, all bets off. It's going to be survival, I won't say fittest, survival of the most evil in many cases. They just will have no hesitation to kill, to take.
No, there won't be any. When the rules are down, you're going to see stabbing in the back, betrayal, like you've never seen before. Okay. I mean, people will become animals. I mean, I've been to 16 wars, conflict zones, you know, revolutions, stuff like that, where there's been total anarchy. And there are two kinds of people. Most people will just be vicious animals. Okay. But then there's some people that will just shine, that the best comes out of them. It brings out both the best and the worst in people. So...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much more of the buildup before we actually start to see shooting in the streets? That's a tough question. 6 more months? They're going to just ramp this up,
you know,
making it worse and worse?
Here's what it is. I think, Jeff, the best way to say that is we are now at a point of unpredictability. Okay. I mean, we could be in World War III next week.
Yeah.
You know, if we bomb Iran for Israel, I mean, that could be it right there. That will spiral into a World War III right there.
Can you imagine, can you imagine Taco calling it off and flying back most, if not all, of the massive amounts of munitions that he sent over there? Can you imagine that?
No, he won't do that.
They won't let him do that.
right, because
Israel will not allow it.
He's a taco about what he wants to do for you and me, but he is not a taco for what he'll do for Israel.
He knows they'll kill him. I think ultimately he knows that they'll take him out.
Yeah, he'll do anything for Israel. And what he'll do for us people is he'll put on a show and act tough and make some smart-ass remarks. That's what he'll do for us.
Yeah.
If you get in trouble, he will do nothing for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This government will not protect you. Okay?
No.
You got to remember, they don't have control of the judiciary. Okay, so they can arrest everybody they want, but the judiciary isn't going to put them in jail or send them out of the country or nothing. So what does it matter what he does? Because, you know, this when I laid out this revolutionary thing, according to the way that Lenin or Marighella would see the revolution, they're doing it. It's the revolution is on. They have the judicial system in their hands, such that everything that Trump does, there's a court order against him. Okay, I mean, can you imagine Minnesota today was asking the court to order a the judiciary to order the ICE agents out of Minnesota. Listen, what the ICE agents are doing is their job. These are laws passed by Congress, and they're enforcing them. It's what our country, what our democracy has decided to do. But see, they don't care what the Constitution says. They don't care what the people want.
No, no.
They want a revolution. They are opposed to everything Trump does because they want to make him look bad. They want to make him blink all the time. They want to overthrow him. They have shown his weakness to the American people. Tampon Tim made Donald Trump blink. Tampon Tim.
That's really despicable to think about.
It's disgusting.
To even say,
yes.
This is the alleged president. This man is no leader. He's got no backbone. He's just a puppet. He does what he's told. And then he starts to try and set out his own turf, and he runs his mouth. And that's all he does.
He boasts. He fails and declares credit. For example, he's going to invade Greenland and take it over. So, you know, the NATO chiefs say, well, you know, instead of doing all that, why don't you just build a bunch of bases in Greenland and put the radar systems and Air Force bases and stuff like you want there. Okay, so what did Trump gain from that? You do know that prior to this, we could build all the bases and put all the missiles we wanted to there. He gained nothing. We already have
I put that in the headline. It's up there right now. No, it was just basically an act. We already had exactly what he claims to have won in all of this.
Yes, we already had what he claims to have won, exactly. He made a 3,000-year peace. After 3,000 years, he made peace in Israel. And meanwhile, Israel, you do know they're still bombing Gaza. They're still dropping bombs on the people in Gaza. Today, they're still doing that. There is no ceasefire. But they're going ahead and moving into phase two. It's total clown world. Okay? He's delusional. Something fails, but it's a big success to him. He brought about peace in the Republic of the Congo in their war with Rwanda. That war is going on. There's no peace.
He's claiming to have resolved.
Thailand and Cambodia are at war right today. He claimed a big victory in bringing peace to those two countries.
What an incredible fraud.
It's not there. You know, nothing at all. He just claims victory. He doesn't wait to actually have a victory. He just says, okay, yeah, we have a victory. We can just stop talking about this now. You know, it's sort of like he's in a make-believe world. You know, listen, Marxist Democrats are in a make-believe world, but, you know, Trump is in a make-believe world, too, you know. So, you know, I think there will come a point. I think what will exasperate this is inevitably the thing that matters is Israel. So Trump will finally crack down on the Marxist Democrats, but it will be over their anti-Semitism that he cracks down on them. See, he will have the courage to do that. He will not have the courage to do that for the freedom of the American people, but he will have the courage to do that on Israel's behalf.
Good point.
Okay.
That's right.
So the other half of the world, the free people in the United States, we call it the other half, well, they're divided between those who are truly free and those who are sycophants to Israel. You know, those who worship the Antichrist, Israel. Okay. And it is
all
worship
true.
Of the Antichrist. So I don't care how you cut it, you know. It is worship of the Antichrist. Because all an Antichrist is somebody who denies that Christ, Jesus is the Christ. Israel denies that. The Jews deny that. They are Antichrist. That's what they are, people. There is no other explanation for it. The Christian Zionists make believe that the Jews can kill God's still going to somehow give them a special dispensation to see promised the Jews that he would save them. That promise came in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the promise for the Jews. He is the third temple. He's very clearly the third temple because he said to the Pharisees, he just said it to them, he says, you can destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. He died on the cross and 3 days later he rebuilt himself, right? He is telling you he is the third temple. He is the law, the fulfillment of the law. Okay, he is the completion of God's promises to the Jewish people. Okay, and after that happens, that's when 1 John 2, 22-23 describes Antichrist as those who deny that Jesus is the Christ. And who is that? Those are the Jews, and they run the world. They run our country. They run our government. They run our foreign policy. They run everything.
Well, name any nexus of power or control, and they're right there.
Yep.
Every time. Every damn time. And the average American doesn't understand. I don't think they want to understand anymore. There's too much grief. There's too much dread. Life is too grim now for most people. They don't want to take anything else on. I'm not knocking. I get it. I understand. But unless you have a fully mobilized public, a fully mentally aware culture, you don't have a chance. And now, as I said earlier, I've said it before, when a species turns and begins to prey on its own young, they're dead. That species is dying.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yes.
And we are exactly that. We're preying on our young. Pedophilia is the rage now. It's everywhere. I'm not saying it wasn't before around, but I've never seen anything like this. And I only can glean it from reading the stories and reading between the lines, but it's so bad out there. When we start to parasitize our own young, we're finished. And that's what this species is doing. Not to mention the fact that 5.5 billion have been given the death vax and their lives have been terribly shortened or worse. Anyway. It's bad. I agree.
I just saw how much the head of the CDC just came out like the other day. He back during the 20s, he was like a head of the CDC. He came out and admitted that the vaccine is not a vaccine today. He said, "Yeah, it's not really a vaccine."
Well, that was Robert Redfield, I believe.
Yeah, Robert Redfield. Yeah. I just saw a little article on that today. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, he's kind of gone honest. Interesting. He's not under the boot right now, so he can speak more forthrightly.
Freely.
But it's too late. It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
5.5 billion people. And I asked, again, I went into a CVS the other day, and I walked by the pharmacy, and I asked one of the employees, or I said, how many shots are you, I think I rephrased it. Are you still giving a lot of COVID vax?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And the last time I asked, the guy told me they're giving about 60 a day. No one has figured it out.
This is a measure of the gullibility of people. This shows you how lost people are. So when this all collapses, keep in mind that the vast majority of people are lost. They don't know what's going on. So, you know, you need to make it incumbent upon yourself to keep an open mind, keep aware of what's going on. You should know by now not to obey the government, not to listen to them or take their advice. After 2020, you should have completely stopped listening to anything the government tells you. And I want to tell you now, if it's a Republican government, don't listen to them either.
No, stay away from the labels. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're evil, but in different ways. They're all evil. Bad, bad.
Yeah,
all right,
yourself.
Mitchell.
Yeah
thank you, my friend. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Right. Mitchell Henderson and his book, The Final Wars, Amazon. Back with more in 21 hours. Take good care. Talk to you tomorrow.